This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.
The West Automotive Group presents Auto Talk Radio with host Brian Bowersock and co-host Kevin Bowersock. Today's show is brought to you by West Escondido, West El Cajon, West Kearney Mesa, and West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, all part of the West Automotive Group. Get your automotive questions answered. Call Brian and Kevin at 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Now, here's your Auto Talk host, Brian Bowersock.
All right. Good morning, folks, and welcome to Auto Talk Radio. I'm Brian, and that's Kevin over there. Say hi, Kevin.
And it's a beautiful day in San Diego.
It's a beautiful day. Brandon, how do you like Kevin's hairdo this morning?
It looks great. Are you kidding me? Hey, it looked just fine until I took my ball hat on to put on my earphones.
My earphones. Those are called headphones, not earphones.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It's early on a Saturday morning here.
Welcome
actually, it was a really nice morning. I was sleeping really good this morning, too. When the alarm went off, I was like, what the?
I thought the same thing this morning. Trust me. I had a busy day yesterday. I ran the Kearney Mesa location, so Bill was out for the day. He is back on Monday, so which is good. And then I'm out to El Cajon. I'll be running that location. Chris is on vacation with his family. Took an extra day, a long weekend. I think you're going to Disneyland. So anyway, why are you looking at me like that?
I don't know. Flashbacks. I don't have to go to them places. I'm in between. Because the kids, you know, my youngest one just graduated high school this year, so.
Oh, yeah, the Disneyland flashback. I thought you meant you didn't have to go to work. I was like, what? What happened? No, okay, I get it. So, well, they say it's the happiest place on earth. I don't know. I haven't been there in. Actually, I think I've only been to Disneyland like 4 times in my entire life.
Right.
When we were kids, we went to Disney World in Florida.
Well, I know, but I've only been there a few times, too, but I'm just thinking, places like that are just woo anymore. Hmm. I mean, to me, they're kind of.
Sorry, I looked at the call screen.
I know, and red squirrel.
Red squirrel question. And I was like, yeah, that's a garden guy. That must have been what they were talking about, drowning, huh? Yeah, we're not going to talk about drowning any squirrels on this show. No, we're talking about cars. All right, folks, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. We'll get back on track and stop talking about squirrels and. In
Disneyland?
Disneyland. Well, that's a mouse.
It's a small world after all.
I don't even know if they still have that ride anymore, the boat ride.
They do. Trust me.
They do.
I was sure somehow cancel culture had to get rid
of
that.
Dude, that is not going anywhere.
Calling something a small world is probably not cool anymore.
Out of all the rides, it has like the shortest line because no one ever wants to ride that thing unless they're like, well, I guess that's the only ride we have left to ride.
You know what used to be really good about it is the couple times I've been there, you get on that ride when it's really hot in the afternoon because with the water and it's cool inside there.
Humid.
It's not. No. They have like an air conditioner inside.
Yeah, I know they're just blowing cold air or water in there. So
yeah. Well, I'm just saying it was nice and so you could cool down on
on
a comfortable little boat ride through that. But you had to listen to that thing screaming out, it's a small world all the way through there, too. And they have it turned up quite loud.
No, I'm okay. I'm fine with that. I can tune that right out just for the coolness. Oh.
Relaxing. There you go. All right, folks. Give us a call. 1-888-344-1170. It's 888-344-1170. Today, we're talking about cooling systems on your vehicle. But we're happy to talk to you about anything automotive related. We're here to talk to you about. I did want to... let me see here real quick. A couple things that I wanted to touch base on that we had gone over last week that were important. Steve sent me these, one of our good listeners and customers. We were talking about charcoal. You were talking about charcoal. Do you know who invented charcoal? This is very interesting because it links into Auto Talk really well.
Who?
Henry Ford. He was the inventor of Kingsford charcoal, and it's named Kingsford because it was his brother-in-law's name, and he created a company. And what it came down to was, and this is very interesting, and I once again that credit to Stephen for sending this to me. Everyone associates Henry Ford with the automobile and the invention of the assembly line, which he did. He mass production of automobiles. He was the first one to start that. But you also have the American businessman to thank for backyard cookouts, an avid outdoorsman, and early environmentalist. he found a way to solve two problems: waste from his sawmill and cooking fuel source for camping trips, with the invention of Kingsford charcoal, which I did not know. He was experiencing phenomenal success with the assembly line in 1919. A million cars a year he was producing. About 100 board feet of wood went into each car. Think of that, because they had running boards, steering wheels.
All the frames were made out of wood back then.
No, I don't think the frames were.
Yeah, they did. They'd wrap metal around the actual wood frame.
Well, maybe some of it. I don't know.
I mean, not like the frame on the bottom. I'm talking the frame on the body.
Oh, yeah. So, some of it.
Sorry, that was misleading.
Okay. So he wanted his own source of wood, so he wasn't at the mercy of suppliers. So contacted his cousin's husband, Edward G. Kingsford, a Michigan real estate agent, to help him find and purchase timberland. And he bought it in Mountain, Michigan, and he built a sawmill there. Then he realized that was also an early environmentalist and lived by the motto, reduce, reuse, and recycle. He was bothered by the waste wood at his Iron Mountain sawmill. There was a surplus of leftover stumps, branches, sawdust. He hated to see the resources going to waste, so found a way to use the byproducts of the sawmill. So charcoal is made, and which this comes down to, from wood chips. So these lumps of charcoal brick. Well,
lumber.
I don't think
animals.
They press it together as
well. Well, that's why I was saying it's kind of like oil, but it's above. I mean, it's kind of like coal, but it's being made above ground instead of below ground. Because coal, the same thing. Everything is just being squished together and, you know what I mean?
So in 1951, it was purchased by a conglomerate in the briquettes that they named it Kingsford Charcoal in honor of Edward Kingsford, who was his cousin's husband. And it's still made in America using 100% American materials. In fact, more than 1 million tons of wood waste find new life as charcoal briquettes every year. So, Stephen, thanks for sending me that. The great stuff and good information. Just one of the things that we were chatting about last week, which was important. So also, Stephen has sent me one other thing. Remember we said about nuclear cars? We were like, I don't know if there's ever been. So the Ford Nucleon, once again, Ford, man, they just do some cool stuff, is a concept car developed by Ford in 1957, designed as a future nuclear-powered car. One of a handful of such designs during the 50s and 60s, the concept was only demonstrated as a scale model. The design did not include an internal combustion engine. Rather, the vehicle would be powered by a small nuclear reactor in the rear of the vehicle. I'd buy one of those. You only need one fuel rod for about 100 years, man.
Yeah,
I'm telling you now.
Okay, but you know what? That's why it's never going to be built. So you might as well get that out of your head right now.
Car was used a steam engine powered by uranium fission, similar to those found in nuclear submarines.
Is that kind of like Back to the Future, Infusionator or whatever?
No. That's how a nuclear submarines operate.
Yeah.
That's how it's made. So anyway, just a couple things we spoke about. I thought maybe I'd bring them up and we could chat about them real quick. I wanted to make sure, but I do appreciate Steve reaching out and sending me those things. He researched them and found them somewhere. Very interesting about how all of that is related to Ford. Both of those stories and two of the things we talked about, but also about the charcoal. I would have never thought that Henry Ford had a hand in developing charcoal.
You know, weird thing is History Channel right now has a thing on there called Cars That Built America.
Uh-huh.
So they talk about Chrysler Brothers, Ford, and then, you know, obviously GM and stuff. Mm-hmm. All three of them. But they don't mention any of the stuff that he just said, which I'm sure is probably true. I'm just saying it's just, you know what, you never get enough information, you know what I mean?
I know that's true, because I read
that. I'm saying is, though, you never get enough information by one source.
Oh, correct. But, yeah, so the big three, obviously, are the American car, although we've had some others. We had DeLorean, and we had, but they never really took off like those did. So, anyway.
No, but you know what? All these, even Ford and all those went through their trying times. You know, if you watch, if you do research on them and all and you see them, because even GM, I mean, GM is a bunch of different car companies.
I don't think DeLorean's going through a trying time. I think that's a done deal.
No, but even GM went through a bunch where they started out as a bunch of different names and even Ford bought a bunch of auto companies along the way and then kind of just decompressed them. So, it's just the way that, you know, it goes, so.
Ford made its name on its own for sure. They were the number one assembly line. He was selling a million cars.
Yeah, but that's why he also became number two in the end, because he wouldn't listen to his son. His son kept telling him, we need to make another color, and he's like, no. Because they said that Ford was actually an inventor. More, I mean, you know, he was a very smart guy.
He was actually a businessman.
But most of those guys, no, actually the kid was the businessman. Because if you watch these things, I've been watching lots of them in the history, especially on the Ford. And his kid was trying to tell him, dude, if we're going to compete, we need to start putting colors like the rest of them. Mm-hmm. And Ford was, because a lot of those guys that are engineers and stuff like that, and they're really brilliant like that, they are very, you know, one way. And he was, you know, just saying, it's not practical. It's not this. It's not that. And you know what? That's when GM took over as number one auto.
No, but what I'm saying, well, you're talking about in the when he got up into the 40s and that. What I'm talking about when he first started making cars.
Yeah, he was number one.
And he surrounded himself with some of the smartest people in the world. That's why he was able to mass produce cars and figure that all out. So business-wise, he's very smart when it came to that. All right, let's grab a Mike in Ohio real quick. You there, Mike?
Hey, what's going on there?
What's happening, Mike?
Everything at once, as usual.
That's good.
Yeah, sometimes. You got to find a balance, man.
I know.
Yeah, I got a 99. I got two questions real quick, a rapid fire here, hopefully. I've got a 99 Savannah Express van. Replaced all the AC components on it, compressor, low cycling switch, the accumulator. Sir, basically, I can jumper the 30 to 87 cavity, take the control relay out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're dropping part of you, Mike. You there?
I actually think we totally dropped you.
I think you're gone.
Anyone?
And then Brendan walked away over there. So, okay. I don't know what his question
is.
You're back?
Now we can hear you.
Yeah.
Well, we lost you for a while.
I'm sorry, man.
No, we heard was jumper, and then you went away.
Yeah, it was 87 pin.
Yeah, it was I think it was, 87 to
30.
30, I believe it is, yeah.
For the AC.
Everything's fine. Pressure's fine.
For the AC clutch relay?
Correct. Yeah, the compressor's been replaced. It's jumped. You know, I put the right amount of freon in it, blah, blah. High pressure cycling switch, of course, in the back of the compressor. Low cycling switch, new. Accumulator's new. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when I jumper that, everything's fine.
Okay.
But it's just that control relay wire, I think, from the low cycling switch to the PCM is just not energizing. Is there anything on that?
Well, first you got to figure out, is the control head commanding the AC through the PCM?
That's what I want to know. Yeah, I just want to know if it's getting even a signal wire.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like to me you don't have a mechanical or a pressure problem with the AC system. That's all fine. You're having having a control problem. So something now, either something's telling the AC head not to signal the PCM to close the relay. Or something's wrong with the control head itself, and it's not. Or you have a wiring problem, or you have a PCM problem.
Right.
So that's going to be. Yeah, there's a couple of things in there, but it is definitely on the control side, not the mechanical side. Right. I would say.
Right. Which I. Well, I didn't know if you had any kind of issues with those. I mean, kind of a common thread that you could go to, or is that you just got to go?
Well, what I would do is
check each one.
It is. Check and see, you know, when you command the AC from the control head, do you get the signal going to the PCM? If you do, then everything with the control head's working properly as far as commanding. So, and then you got to downstream. Now you're out of the control head and off to see if there's, make sure, see what commands the PCM once commanded by, you know, because there could be another, one of the sensors, like a low pressure switch or something that is commanding, even though the signal's coming, that it's telling the PCM not to send a signal to close the relay. So, I'd really have to run down the diagram on that bad boy.
Yeah. Okay. On this 05 Chevy Venture van, we've got an issue with basically a key anti-theft deal or whatnot. Recoding the key, got a new cylinder, put it in, the new module around the key, if you're familiar with that. Can I do the 30-minute relearn on that without the Tech 2? Do you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Cool.
You got to have two keys.
You got to look it all up too, because every single car is just a little bit different.
Yeah. Yeah. But you need to have two functioning keys to program.
I do.
Yeah. If you only have one, it won't work. All right, we're going to have to take a break, folks. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Wish Mike good luck with the AC and keys. He's going to need the AC. He's in Ohio. It's very sticky there right now. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise. We'll be right back after these messages. Hold tight, Teresa.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. Get on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
Hi, folks. Welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. I'm Brian. Over there is Kevin. We're talking all cars. We appreciate you joining us. 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. Do want to remind you, Auto Talk Radio is brought to you by the West Automotive Group, which consists of West Escondido Automotive and Transmission over at 2200 Auto Parkway in Escondido. AAA approved and Starford certified for smog over 28 years, taking care of folks up in North County. Along with West El Cajon Automotive and Transmission, 844 North Johnson Avenue in El Cajon. AAA approved and smog certified out there for over 8 years, taking care of folks in East County. And, of course, West Kearney Mesa Automotive and Transmission, 8027 Balboa Avenue, right in central San Diego. AAA approved and smog certified, taking care of folks over there for over 4 years in central San Diego. And our newest location, West Miramar Automotive and Transmission, 5726 Miramar Road in Eastgate Mall. AAA approved and STARS certified, taking care of folks over there for over 2 years. All of us at the West Automotive Group, my employees and myself, come together to bring you Auto Talk Radio for one simple reason. And that is, we all believe in the same philosophy. We never put money ahead of people. Very important to us. Stop in to have your vehicle serviced, repaired, and find out what quality automotive service and repair is all about. West Automotive Group is also proud to offer 6 months no interest for your vehicle service and repair needs on approved credit. We're here to help. Let us know, and we'll get you one of those cards. You can continue to use it. It's just like a credit card, only just for auto repair. The best part of it, like every time you use it, is 6 months no interest on your repairs and service. Take advantage of our CertiCare transmission diagnosis also. If you think you have a transmission problem or you have a diagnosed problem, you have a drivability problem, get it in. Let our experts diagnose it. My guys are amazing. We hire master certified technicians to make sure that your diagnosis is proper. Just so that we see way too many cars that come in that have had major repairs for a problem, and the problem still exists, and the repair was incorrect. We also offer free shuttle rides to or from work or home, and low-cost rental vehicles at all four locations available. Hop on westautomotivegroup.com, westautomotivegroup.com. You can see what we're all about. You can make appointments, request anything you want, all kinds of information there. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram right through westautomotivegroup.com. You can also check out the Auto Man segments where you can go to my YouTube channel. I am the Auto Man on the CW and Fox 5 News. Wednesday mornings on the Fox 5 and Friday morning and evening on the CW. Check me out. That's where we're at. You can also go straight to Auto Talk Radio where you can catch all of our podcasts, etc. from there. If you sign up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, we send out little things all the time, little helpful tips and cool things about cars and stuff and car repair just to keep you informed and engaged. Just good stuff. So westautomotivegroup.com. You can also email me anytime at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. So good stuff. Our podcasts are also available through Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pandora, Deezer, Stitcher, Spotify, iHeartRadio.com, and TuneIn. Find our podcast at your favorite place to find podcasts. That's what Brendan always says. Right, Brendan?
I also say Odyssey as well, too, but, you know.
Oh, there's another one?
No, well, because radio.com's gone, but well, again, stop saying if you that. Type in radio.com, it'll
go to Odyssey. Yeah. Okay. And I thought that when they changed the name, it was Audacity. You have the audacity to change your name.
I thought so, but now it's pronounced Odyssey, and it just confuses me more. So.
That's radio.com for the rest of us.
Why would you buy something like radio.com, an app, and change the name? I mean, that's
they
a
didn't
cool...
buy it. They owned it.
I know, but that's yeah. But why would you change? I mean, it's a cool. It's not a bad name. You know what I mean? It's not.
They rebranded everything to that. That's what they do. That's what people do. So, anyway, it is what it is. But give us this call this morning, 1-888-344-1170. That's 888-344-1170. And like I said, if you need to know anything about us, you can jump on westautomotivegroup.com and find out from there. Let's grab Teresa and Carl's Brad real quick. Good morning, Teresa.
Good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. I hope you can give me some advice. I was driving home last night, and all of a sudden I hear this noise, and my rear window rolls down all by itself. So I tried to roll it back up using the panel next to the driver's side, and I broke the little button off. So when I got home, I tried to roll the window back up using the individual door control, and nothing's happening. So the window's all the way down.
What type of car are we talking about, Teresa?
2008 Honda Accord.
Okay. Go ahead, Kevin.
Honda's had a lot of problems with their master switch.
Correct.
And it will do weird things, because I know Honda, if you walk up to the car with the key and like turn the door lock open, close, it'll actually roll all the windows down for you. I mean, they do things with their Some stuff like that. So I would definitely diagnose it, but it's probably going to be your interior or your master switch, which you just said you broke in anyways.
Yeah, I would. But yeah, but yeah, okay. Yeah, but
yeah, it just broke off when I was trying to roll it up.
Yeah. Just because the little button's broken, I mean, I don't think that's the problem with it, though, but it could be internal, like Kevin said, in a master switch, but need to test it, because those master switches are quite expensive.
Oh, they are. That's why I said I would definitely test it, but that's probably where going to be her issue is.
Yeah, it's probably not actually in the door or the window. But you said the switch at the door also wouldn't roll the window up.
No, I tried it when I got home. Yeah. And the reason I need to call you is just, you know, for advice, instead of I have to get it fixed, but yeah. I was just wondering if they can somehow use something just to close the window. I don't care really if it opens and closes.
Well, the problem is there could be a short inside the master switch, and if there if you don't care if it works, I've done this for people. We have to take the door panel apart. We can power up the window and close it, but then we have to leave that window motor unplugged, because the short in that switch will cause it to go back down again when it feels like it, if the master switch is shorted. And sometimes when the master switch is shorted internally, it'll prevent the switch on the door from working properly. So, there are some options there, but really... yeah, I mean, you could get the window up as long as that window motors and a regulator are working properly. But you do have to usually take things apart, get it up, and then leave it disconnected, because if you reconnect it, it'll go back down again.
Okay, so the master switch in the door has to be disconnected to that window?
No. What would have to happen is the motor itself in that door would end up having to be disconnected, because the switches work together. So if you have a problem in the master switch, it can prevent things such as the door switch from working and continue on with the problem. So even if you were to power the motor up individually and close the window, if you plugged it back in and there's a short in the master switch, eventually what happened the other day where the window just went down on you is going to happen again. Yeah. It's going to happen again. So we would really have to. So the best part would be to diagnose it, figure out what's wrong with it. And it possibly could just be a switch, may not be an expensive repair. And if it is something that's more expensive than you want, then the window could be put up manually, and we have to get into the door to do so. But usually, as long as the regulator's not broken or the motor itself, then the window can be powered up and closed and then left unplugged. That window just won't work at all anymore. It'll stay up, though, at that point, as long as the regulator and the motor are good in the door. So that's
it. Use a regulator. Okay, I'm trying to take notes here.
Really, all you need to do is just get it in and get it diagnosed, and then figure out, you know, what you want to do from there, to be honest with you, because that's what's going to happen. If we can help you out with that, give us a shout. We're more than happy to.
You're at in Escondido.
Yes,
right?
Ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Either okay. Escondido or we also have a location that's on 805 and Miramar Road, which is right here in UTC. So whichever is good
okay.
For you. Okay.
All right. I just was feeling very vulnerable just to, you know, go someplace, and I didn't know whether it could be fixed or I didn't know it.
We definitely want to get the window up for sure, because I mean, you can't leave your car in a parking lot, and it's unlocked, obviously.
Exactly. That's why I need to take care of it right away. And I just put tires on the car, so I can't. I don't want to go into something really expensive.
No, I understand. I understand. Yeah, and there's some options there. So if we can help you out, give us a shout. We're more than happy to. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for the call, Teresa, and thanks for listening. You have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So, great question. You just need to jump on westautomotivegroup.com and make an appointment, or just Google it. You can call us, whichever. We'll get you in.
Well, having that rear window down, too, if you got on the freeway, that's got to be annoying, too.
It's very noisy.
Well, because the new cars, because they're aerodynamic, if you don't have the windows up, like, on the freeway, you get that whoop, 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 whoop. You know what I mean? Because they design cars to have the windows up on the freeway for better fuel economy.
Yes, you can. You are correct. Yeah. So, one of those things. Anyway, all right, let's, real quick, let's see. Let's grab Mike real fast. He's got one more question. You're back.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I'm in a bunker, apparently. It's hard to get to. Real quick, on a 2014 Grand Caravan, first AC, it would get warm, and then it would get cold. It would get warm, then get cold. Last time I charged it, sucked it down, put the proper amount in. Without a machine, it's kind of hard to do. Figure out what's what.
Yeah.
Put enough in there. It was fine for 2-3 days. And we'll go driving it, and all of a sudden it just kind of basically get warm.
Yeah. What do you?
14.
Yeah. One of the things you got to be careful with that could be too much oil in the system on those. I've seen cause weird things like that too.
You know what? Even if the evaporator's not getting good airflow, like they've been running on. I always tell everybody to run everything on max air, because that way it doesn't draw outside air into the evaporator. I've seen evaporators start to get plugged, and it do things like that.
Correct.
Because the evaporator will get too cold, and the sensor will shut it off because it's got so much dirt in there. It can't blow, you know what I'm saying? It can't blow air across the whole entire thing.
It's not doing a temperature exchange, properly. Yeah, so that's another thing that you have to.
What about the expansion valve? Have you heard anything about those?
I have seen them on those caravans go wompy, but
okay.
It would be something I'd have to verify, obviously. Yeah,
right.
One of those things.
Just in my experience, the expansion valve, normally when I have a problem with it, it's either stuck one way or the other.
Correct.
Yeah. Or in the middle or something. So, you know what I mean? Just my personal experience with the expansion valve, I've never seen one kind of – normally it doesn't come and go, you know what I mean? So.
Yeah, gotcha. Anything on oil coolers on those things? I know they're back ordered big time. You guys know any kind of connections on those?
The Dodge dealer that's there's a Dodge dealer here in San Diego, and they have like 250 of them. They also
You're
have the
me.
Ones for the Jeep. No, I don't know how they got them. They like hoarded them, and like you call one place, and they actually charge more for them too. By the way, because nobody else has them. So you call them, and you're like, why is the price like 20% higher? And they're like, because we can charge that, because we're the only ones that have them. I'm like, okay.
Exactly.
Supply and demand.
Do me a favor. Can you email me that? And I'll go ahead and grab it.
Or just text Kevin. He can text it to you, either one. Okay.
Sure. Yeah, this is one that I'm meaning to get to. So, yeah.
Yep.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. I don't mean to be a line hog there.
No worries.
Had, several to get in.
Good to talk to you, man.
Hey,
have
you
a great weekend.
A good one.
You too. Be safe, man.
Well.
Good talking to you, Mike.
You bet.
Right.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. All right, folks. 1-888-344-1170. That's 1-888-344-1170. Anything automotive related, we're happy to talk to you about. Kevin just looking to talk. Chatterbox,
yes.
Chatterboxing it over there. Anyway, give us a call. 888-344-1170. You're listening to Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise. We'll be right back after these messages.
There's more Auto Talk education and empowerment on the way here on Auto Talk Radio. on the line and get your automotive questions answered by the Auto Man here on Auto Talk Radio. Brian Bowersock, 888-344-1170. Now, here's more Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock.
All right, folks, welcome back to Auto Talk Radio. Let's see, we're talking about cooling systems as we're heading into the summer heat. Is it going to be a hot one this year? Tell you what, yesterday was a beautiful day out, no question. It looks like this weekend's going to be beautiful. So, get in your hoopty. Brendan, you know what a hoopty is?
Only a rap songs.
Your hoopty, that's your car. Get in your hoopty.
Okay, I thought that was like a rap slang term.
Well, I guess it kind of is.
No, it was long before rap.
Pimp this ride.
No, my hoopty. That's an old term anyway. I don't think the rap people made that term, the hoopty.
No,
I don't even think there was rap around. They might use it in their songs, but I don't think there was rap around when that term came about itself. So maybe it is. Maybe I'll get yelled at by a rapper now. Hopefully they don't shoot at me. They like to shoot at each other.
I was thinking, you can never be right. No matter what you do,
that's true.
Somebody always finds fault in what you're, even when you're trying to be good.
That's okay. We're going to say hoopty. The hoopty, because that's a car term, so we're gonna use the hoopty term. Anyway, get in your hoopty and go out for a cruise. If you've had you should have your hoopty all serviced up now and ready to roll, right?
I think there was a decent amount of traffic on the way here to this morning. There was people out moving around already.
Everybody's back moving around. I'll tell you what, you go out in the morning, like heading down to Kearney Mesa like yesterday morning, or out to El Cajon early in the morning, everybody's back on the road. And I think next week everybody's gonna start returning back to, obviously, offices and things like that, if they have not already. I think a lot of people have. Back to normal's good, folks. Back to normal is good, and that's what we're looking for. So,
unless they were paying you to sit in your living room.
Well, that's not good. That doesn't make the economy work properly. That's not what we want.
Actually, some people could actually, their job didn't change much when they stayed home.
Yeah.
I mean, because they're more on the computer and.
I'll tell you what, the only part that was really missing, obviously, was the socialization part, but that makes it tough. I like talking and seeing the people, so it is what it is. But I am ready to get back to fully normal, and we're heading that direction, so let's do this for sure. All right, folks, do want to remind you, Auto Talk's also brought to you by Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. If you need a battery for your vehicle, hit us up at westautomotivegroup.com. Get in. We'll get you an Interstate battery installed. It is the technician's professional choice worldwide, and we do not stock nor sell anything else when it comes to automotive related batteries at the West Automotive Group. So westautomotivegroup.com, and we'll get you an Interstate installed if you need a battery. We also run the Interstate test on your vehicle every time we service a vehicle, no matter what it is, oil change, etc. We run a test just to tell you where your battery's at and give you a little condition report. So stay on top of it. Batteries can fail at any time. And you really need to know, or want, I think you would want to know, if your battery's starting to become marginal, where you might be left high and dry. And when it happens is typically when there's temperature changes from extreme warm to cold, or back the other way, when we get into extreme hot temperatures, then that can kill a battery too. So the two things that really, really shorten a battery's life, or if its life is at its end, can make it jump right over the edge and be done. So anyway, Interstate Batteries, a battery for every need. If you need a battery for any other need, check them out at their storefronts, 9345 Cabot Drive in Miramar, or in La Mesa at 70th and University. It's Interstate Battery, battery for every need. So anyway, there we go. What?
Sing the jingle.
Nope. I don't sing any jingles. I'm not doing that. So we're talking about everything automotive related, obviously, today, and any questions or not. We do appreciate you joining us here on The Answer San Diego and K-Praise, The Answer 1170. But you can give us a call here at 888-344-1170, 888-344-1170, anything automotive related. We are happy to talk to you about. So, let's grab Art real quick. You there, Art?
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. I got a 2011 Camry with the 2.5. motor. Mm-hmm. And I am experiencing low RPM knocking, especially on first gear, like just below 1500 RPMs. Mm-hmm. And I changed the spark plugs, to the NJ case, I believe.
NJ case?
Yes. Okay. And they're 44. They're calibrated correctly. Mm-hmm. I checked the air box. No apparent vacuum leaks, and still does it. You know, it's really weird. I can replicate the fault while in park and pressing the brake, and I just crack open the throttle at just below 1500, and it starts spinning like crazy.
Does it? Okay, you had this problem obviously before you went and did the service stuff to the car, correct?
Well, I changed the spark plugs myself.
Is the car running? Is the car running lean? I mean, do you have access to a scanner? I mean, is the car actually running lean?
It is not throwing any codes. That's the I changed the spark plugs and I disconnected the mass air flow sensor and it threw a code, but that's because
you induced it. You induced it. So
and I clear the codes and AutoZone let me borrow the scanner, but it's not throwing any codes. I did it.
That's not where I'd be looking anyways on the scanner, because I would just kind of go strictly to my – I want to see what my fuel trims are. But I'm just kind of wondering if you have a lean condition at idle for some reason.
Right. That's what I was thinking.
So my question is we need to figure out whether we actually truly have a lean system.
Real quick off the top of your head, I think it is, but is this car direct injected?
Not that I know of, no.
Oh, okay. So, I wasn't sure if this one was or not. No, it's right in that cusp.
I don't think it is.
Okay. Have you ever, the other thing that I've seen make these knocks a different is carbon buildup.
Okay.
Which can cause a lean condition at certain points, because carbon builds up on the back of the valves and it actually absorbs the fuel and prevents it from making it into the combustion chamber, and then it causes a lean ping-ish knock.
Especially at lower idles.
Yes, at lower idles. So my question to that would be, have you ever done – how many miles are on the car?
80,000.
Yeah, so you're getting up there almost to 100. How many have you ever had an induction service done on this vehicle?
They did it like 2 months ago.
Okay.
But I don't know if it was like one of those Mickey Mouse services or not, because I didn't take the car to the shop myself.
Oh. Yeah, it depends on – we use BG service. That's the only chemicals we use, because I'm telling you, you know that stuff's working because it'll almost make your eyes water and your nose burn when it's doing it. Oh, it's terrible. But it does reduce carbon off those things. I mean, it works really well. And that's why we use it. And we're seeing a lot of carbon problems these days, especially with direct injected vehicles, but also non-direct injected that get up at higher in mileage. And the reason why is that the fuel additives and everything is so crappy that the valves really build up a large amount of carbon. Some of these carbon reducing systems don't work that well, to be honest with you. So it would depend on what you use. Now, when you say a knock, it kind of like a pre-detonation knock is what you're talking about, right? I mean, you know the difference between like a wrist pin or a something.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not like a metallic dry noise. It's depending. It's a pre-ignition.
It's a pre-ignition noise. Yeah.
I can notice it too. Like I'm on the freeway and I'm just below 2,000 RPMs, and the high gear locks.
Yeah.
I can barely hear it for like maybe half a second.
Gotcha.
You know, but I guess the computer pulls back the timing, and it disappears. But at a low RPM, I don't know how far more the computer can pull back the timing.
Well, that's the problem. It's probably got itself at zero or right about there, and there's limits on it. I would really look into finding. I mean, we run the system; we can help you with this. I would do a good induction cleaning on this thing. I really would, and see, because a lot of times that will reduce or remove that. To be honest with you.
Okay. So can this also happen even if it's not direct injected?
Oh, yes, absolutely. especially because you're up over 70,000 miles. So, and if it hasn't been done really, I'm telling you, these induction services are amazing, what it does, the quality of the drivability and issues with the car. And like I said, we're seeing a lot of these four cylinders with the way they run, that they carbon up really bad like that.
Mm-hmm. And any idea why, and I'm not throwing any engine codes?
Because it hasn't passed that threshold far enough. And it's
at the end of the threshold.
That's right. It's not. It hasn't put. Yeah. And it doesn't do it long enough. See, so here's the deal. To throw a lean code, you actually need to walk up through the. So in other words, the fuel trim, as far as that, the best way to explain this is usually it's a count to 20 on the low side. So there's and once it hits 20 and goes over, then it pushes the adaptive on the long term up one. Well, you got to push the adaptive all the way to 20 on that cylinder to get a lean misfire, as far as that goes. So it because it has to work at it. Now, once it gets worse, then it will. But if it's not lean, so here's the deal: if it's not enough carbon that just does it certain times, and then other times it's rich enough, it will actually push the fuel trim back down. So it never reaches that threshold to set a lean code. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yes. Okay.
That's best.
It's probably right at the edge.
Yep. You got it.
Yes.
You got it.
Okay.
So, but all right. that is where we go and look at our fuel trims and all that a lot of times on cars like that, which is very helpful when we're diagnosing them. So, and obviously I'm just trying to help you here over the phone, but my best guess would be a really good induction. But the really other thing would be is if you want to get in and get a diagnosis, we definitely could do so. And we check all the fuel trims and that to make a determination what we have going on there. And a lot of times
this wouldn't be the knock sensor, right? Because I mean, this is not a fault.
In a knock sensors, they're PZO sensors. They work really well, and unless they're open and they'll set a code when that happens or shorted. So,
right. So. And how much would it be to diagnose it with a computer and maybe do a live data?
So
to see how the trim is behaving.
All the diagnosis pen testing runs $139 with us. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's it. So, and we can figure it out.
Sure. And you're on El Cajon, right?
And the El Cajon location is at 844 North Johnson Avenue.
North Johnson. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
No problem. If you have any other questions, Art, let us know. Have a wonderful, safe weekend.
Thank you so much.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
So, great question for sure.
Oh, yeah.
That was a really good question, actually. And, if you're having those kind of – so many things involved in obviously, fuel control and all that. And I was trying the best way that I could describe so that everybody understand what happens with fuel trims and control and how that works. So,
it's a long process, I mean, how it works. I mean, honestly, when you start to –
There's a lot to it, that's for sure.
Yeah, because, I mean, it is a computer. It takes inputs and outputs and they got to write software for it. And
yes, they do. It has a lot. So anyway, if you have any questions like that, we're here to help for sure. But that was a good question. I appreciate Art calling in with that, and hopefully we can get him helped out. So cooling systems, lots of parts in cooling systems. I don't know how far in depth we're going to get on this. I can tell you this. It's imperative that you service your cooling system because there's so many things that will and can be affected by cooling systems that are not serviced properly.
Well, especially now because cooling systems with hybrids and all this stuff, because you got to cool the battery. So you have more than just one cooling system on board too. So they're getting more complex because you got to, or however they're using their cooling systems to cool the batteries or what, everybody has their own little twist on it.
Very true. Very true. No lie to that. So, and the things that we are seeing, as far as that go, are usually come with coolant not being changed out regularly. Now, most cars have what we call hybrid coolants these days. Which are better known as extended life or oats or things like that, high oat coolants. Anyway, they still need to be changed out. And a lot of manufacturers are saying, they can go 100,000 miles. I'm telling you now, that is a bad plan. There is no question on our mind. So what we recommend is, 4 years, 50,000 miles on extended life coolants. I kind of cut that in half. 4 years max, 50,000 miles. Get it flushed out. The cost of flushing out the cooling system, keeping it clean, will save you so much money in the long run, because as that coolant fails, gaskets start to get eaten, radiators start to be eaten out from inside out. Hoses deteriorate internally. There are so many things that are damaged by the coolant breaking down in a vehicle. Not to mention that the exchange of heat isn't the greatest. So you can cause all kinds of issues. We have a lot of electric water pumps nowadays on cars, especially like BMWs, cars like that, that fail from the coolant getting just crappy. So, you know, one of those things, you just need to make sure and keep that cooling system clean, replace the thermostat, and it will continue to work for you for on and on and on and on. So, yeah, just good stuff. You need, that is the most important thing. If you have regular ethylene glycol coolant, every 2 years, 24,000 miles, replace it. And you will keep your cooling system in amazing shape.
Right.
Right. So just one of those things for sure. Good stuff. So a couple tips besides that, you know, you also want to keep a good eye on your radiator. As Kevin said, you know, like we were talking about evaporator cores, they get plugged. I've seen cars come in with heating problems because radiators, like excessive amount of dirt stuck to them, things like that. That reduces the way a radiator works and the efficiency of it, and therefore you can end up with a car overheating, et cetera.
Well, let's in today's world too, especially because you remember back in the day, radiators used to be kind of a little bit overkill. You remember they were a little extra
thicker,
wider,
bigger, wider.
Now they when they engineer these cars, they engineer them so that they work. You know what I'm saying?
Just perfectly, no extra.
Exactly. So if you get dirt on the radiator back in the day, because even back in the day, you had to put cardboard on your radiator if you lived back in the East, you know, to keep it.
Also, we didn't run cars as hot back then. No. 180 was a normal temp. Now we're running cars up around 240, and we need to keep that below. And the reason why is for miles per mileage and efficiency and fuel control and all that. A car runs better, and we get, you know, reduced emissions, et cetera. But the point is, you get up over that temp, you start melting things down.
Right. And this is when that weird thing comes where the air conditioner comes and goes, because the weird thing about air conditioner, it all depends on amp unit temperature, right?
Another thing, you're right.
Not only that,
but an air conditioner, the car starts to overheat, the computer will shut the AC system off. It knows away.
Yeah, but that.
Or run too warm.
What I was saying, though, is you have dirt covering your condenser or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
One day, because it's a little bit cooler out than the next, it might work fine. The next day, it might need to be cooling, you know, the Freon a little more to get it back into liquid form.
Correct.
So, you know what I'm saying? That day, then the next day could be a little hotter, and it would make it cycle a little more. Well, so that,
you're right. The ambient temperature outside can affect the way those systems work, too, if they're not operating properly.
Well, because they designed them to work like they did off the showroom floor, not 100,000 miles later when it's full of dirt.
Well, and they really designed them to work also where everything's working properly. So
yes.
If you have one little thing gone wrong, it can cause weird scenarios with things for sure. So, you know, just a heads up there. Everything needs to be operating at its optimum to make a system work properly and not have things that come and go and stuff like that. So just one of those things. Sorry, I was... There's a goat yoga thing going on the TV. We have monitors in the studio, and there's all these little goats jumping all over people. It's kind of hilarious. So, anyway, Kevin's going to go do some goat yoga later.
Nope.
So, replacing the coolant, like I said, keep your engine components well. Radiator fins, grill clean as possible. Clean engine runs much cooler. You know, we don't dirt mud all over. Anything you add to something can cause issues for sure. So, it's good to keep things clean. Replace the thermostat with the original equivalent thermostat temperature. In other words, when we service the cooling system, we recommend replace the thermostat, but definitely we don't want to be changing temperatures these days. You put a cooler thermostat in a car that requires a 192s are the most common thermostats that we use. Temperatures, some have gone a little hotter now, but the point to this is you put a 160 in that thing, it will never go in closed loop. It'll waste fuel like crazy. It will set a check engine light. There's no question about it. The car does not run well. That we cannot do the old school, like when your grandfather used to say, oh, the car's overheating, I'm putting a 160 in her. You know, and do never, ever, ever, ever take a thermostat out of a vehicle and leave it out. That's a problem.
Well, especially in the new cars, because it'll run fat. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. It thinks it's cold all the time. Thinks it's cold outside, so it runs rich. We don't want
that. And then you'll be like, why am I only getting 3 miles a gallon?
Well, it will turn on a check engine light. No question about that. All right, folks. Well, you know what? We didn't get much into cooling systems, but we love it when you call in with your questions and all that. And some great stuff.
I never even got on to the email to find out what we were supposed to be talking about.
Cooling systems. I told you when we started, you weren't listening, apparently. Anyway. But good stuff. We appreciate everybody joining us. Good things. We will be back next week for sure. I don't know what we're talking about next week. Do you?
Nope.
Nope, not yet. But he's ready, apparently. So it's all good.
I was born ready.
That's okie dokie then. I think you need to go do some goat yoga and then
beach therapy.
Beach therapy. There you go. That's a good thing for sure. Anyway, all right, folks, we appreciate everybody joining us this morning and calling in with your great questions and things. If you do have any other questions, you can hit us up at westautomotivegroup.com. That's westautomotivegroup.com, and we're happy to help you out in any way we can, automotive-wise, or email us at autotalk@westautomotivegroup.com. San Diego and everybody out there, keep the rubber side down and the shiny side up for sure. Have a wonderful weekend. Looks like it's going to be a beautiful one here in San Diego, and I'm sure across the nation also, as we are sliding into summer here shortly. And actually, I think we haven't hit the official day of summer yet. So, but hang tight. We're headed there. Get out. Enjoy your vehicles. Enjoy your lives. Back to normal a little bit more, and we will see you next Saturday. This has been Auto Talk Radio on The Answer San Diego 1170. And K-Praise, until next Saturday, what you got to say, Kevin? Say it.
I say have a great weekend.
There you go. San Diego and everybody out there, take care. This has been Auto Talk Radio.
For answers to all your automotive questions, tune in every week at this same time for Auto Talk with Brian Bowersock. To learn more about Brian, become a guest or sponsor of the show, or if you have additional questions, visit thewestautomotivegroup.com. That's thewestautomotivegroup.com. And click on Auto Talk Radio. Join us again next week for more Auto Talk.
This program is sponsored by West Automotive Group.